tonight, just to do the second half of what we started last week on the power of faithfulness. The power of faithfulness. Remember what John Knox said? Know God, be faithful, and bless Scotland. Or be a blessing, whatever, yeah. He just happened to be in Scotland. So do we, by the way. Know God, primarily. What's of primary importance is to know God. To be faithful. I tell you, if you know God, and you be faithful, you will bless Scotland. Yeah. You will be a blessing. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whoever you're among, you will be a blessing if you know God and you are faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have known, we have believed God's faithfulness toward us. Who knows, we can look back on our lives. Judges said, you know, the scripture, the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Amen. We can look back and we can see that even when we were faithless, he remained consistently faithful. And if we are faithful to him, it's simply, as I said last week, it's just an overdue response to his faithfulness toward us. Amen. In Habakkuk 2:4, look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just. This is from the Amplified Bible, I like, because it brings something out here that's really quite powerful. But the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Faith is not something that we're supposed to try and muster up just when we hit a bump on the road. As kingdom citizens, as the children of God, we live by faith. As new creations, we live by faith. Faith is our lifestyle. Amen. Jesus said, it has been written, man shall not live by or be upheld and sustained by bread alone, not by physical food alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How does faith come? How is faith activated? By hearing what God says in 1 John 4:16, and we know and understand and recognize and we are conscious of by observation and by experience. Amen. And we believe and adhere to and put faith in and rely on the love that God has for us. What makes our faith work? Love makes our faith work. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Galatians, I think it's in chapter 5, verse 6, in the Amplified Bible, it says something like that faith is activated, energized, expressed, and put to work by love. Amen. Faith activates, it energizes, it expresses, and it puts work. It puts our faith to work. Love does. Hallelujah. We believe the love that God has for us. We have known and believed God is love. You know who knows love is faithful?
Yeah.
Love and faithfulness, they're synonymous.
Yeah.
Amen. Someone who claims to love someone and is unfaithful to them, they have never understood what true love is. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love. Because God is love, God is faithful. And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. And God dwells and continues in him. You know, we've been sitting here for years. We breathe in his presence. Isn't it awesome just to come together and worship? Something happens in worship, doesn't it? Something changes. The atmosphere changes. And because the atmosphere changes, we change.
Yeah.
Amen. We breathe in his presence. And we breathe out his praise. We breathe in the revelation, the reality, the truth of God's love for us. And we breathe out faith. Something changes in worship. It's like you might have come in a little bit doubtful or a little bit unbelieving, but something changes in worship. Faith rises.
Yeah.
Expectation rises. Expectancy rises. Yeah. That's why it's important to take hold of what's available in that atmosphere. You say, I don't need to come to church. I can get everything I want at home. Well, stay home then. I'll guarantee you'll miss out on something.
Yeah.
God designed it that way. He didn't design it as a lonely, solitary, isolated experience.
Right. That's right.
He designed it to be a corporate experience. Not so sure about that. Well, I'll tell you where it all started. If you ever struggle with something to figure something out, and you realise that maybe you're not quite getting it quite right, but you're stubbornly battering on anyhow, just go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. It's when you, like when you're lost, go back to the place where you left the road that you were familiar with. Get your bearings there. Go back to the beginning. God said, what did he say? He said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. God in his corporateness.
Yeah, that's right.
Said, let us make man. If we live and exist and eternally existed in this fellowship that we have, then when we create man, he will be created for fellowship.
Yeah.
It's no mistake that fellowship and worship both happen in the same ship. Hallelujah. We breathe in his presence. We breathe out his praise. Something that God's love charges our faith. But Habakkuk says something, and he says, the uncompromisingly righteous man not only lives by his faith, but in his faithfulness. Well, some of us, we've been righteous a long time. As I said last time, you know, our righteousness has got nothing to do with us. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Went through anything that I've done, or anything that you did, or what we didn't do, that God declared us righteous. Yeah. Our righteousness comes from what Jesus did alone.
Yeah.
But the willingness to compromise that righteousness is dead, right? And the best way, I believe, to deal with that willingness is to get more revelation of God's faithfulness. The more revelation you get of his faithfulness, the more understanding and experience you have of his faithfulness, the less inclination there will be, I believe, to be unfaithful to him.
Yeah.
We love him because he first loved us. We're faithful to him because he has proved himself over and over and over again to be faithful to us. Lamentations 3:23, great is his faithfulness. I love this. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Our life is rebooted every morning. Amen. Amen. Yeah. No, I've used that illustration before, but when my computer starts to run slow and I've got 48 tabs open on my browser and I've got 14 programs crunching away doing something, and I realise, and I check that, and I've got something like out of 16 gigabytes of memory, there's about 25 megabytes battering away trying to do something, and you realise it's time to restart this thing, to reboot this thing, and all of a sudden, boom, everything starts working again, the way it's supposed to. Things aren't grinding anymore. Who knows what I'm talking about? Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. There's never a reason for us to fall short in anything, because his mercy is there for us.
Yeah.
You know, that generation that came out of Egypt, they could have starved in the wilderness if they hadn't gone out every morning and picked up some manna. It's your choice to starve when there's food all around you.
Yeah.
They had to go out every day and pick it up. What was that? It was the mercy of God lying all around them. Problem was a feeling of scratching the head going, what's this? Psalm 57 verse 10. I guess after 40 years they knew what it was. It was their sustenance. It was their daily bread. Hallelujah. It was God's faithfulness manifest in their midst every morning. Hallelujah. They didn't even have to wait till the morning to see the expression of his faithfulness, because even in the darkest night, that pillar of fire was right there. Amen. And after they finished their breakfast, they could look up and see that pillar of cloud. That wasn't candy floss. Amen. Now that was, you go into the original Hebrew, it was a thunder cloud. It was charged with power.
Yeah.
It was there alive. Boom, 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 boom. And that pillar of fire, you know, that wasn't a sparkler. It was like lightning.
Yeah.
It's a Hebrew word for lightning. Hallelujah. Power. Everything's charged. Everything that represents God is charged with power. But you know there's one thing that is the most powerful of all. It's His love. His love is so charged with His power that it cannot fail.
That's right. Yeah.
Talk that. So I said, the Lord spoke this to me and I passed it on over and over and over again. If love isn't working, don't try anything else. If you can't reach people with love, just keep loving them because there's no other alternative. Don't go back to try and beat them into some kind of submission. Threaten them. If love ain't working, if they can't recognize God's love and respond to it, there isn't anything else. Psalm 57 verse 10 says, "For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." Galatians 5 says that faithfulness is actually it's a manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, you don't even have to strive to attain to some place of faithfulness. You just have to let the Holy Spirit have His way in your life. And He will produce that faithfulness. You will produce that faithfulness. You can reject Him, you can resist Him, you can question Him, you can try and run away from Him, but if you'll just yield yourself to Him, then faithfulness will be a byproduct. Supernatural byproduct of that relationship. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a manifestation of God's character. Like I said this last time, you know, sometimes we can talk the talk of faith, but then someone looks for us when they need us and we're nowhere to be found. Or when people expect us to stand, we fall apart. And I read the scripture in Proverbs 26, and I wanted to read it again because I was saying, well, should I read this again? I thought, yeah, why not? Because it really it declares something. It says, "Many a man proclaims his own loving kindness and goodness, but a faithful man, who can find?" Many a man proclaims his own loving kindness and goodness. Many a man can make 100 promises, but not necessarily fulfill these promises. Faithful man, who can find? You know, and I don't know whether I refer back to this right now, but when we know that when God spoke to us just a few minutes ago, prophetically through that message in tongues and interpretation, you know, part of that was part of a scripture from Psalm 2. "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry." The rest of that verse is, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way." Remember, to perish means to miss your purpose. Kiss the Son. Another way that can be translated from the Hebrew is embrace discipline. And worship, the Greek word for worship, proskuneo, means to stretch toward Him. To kiss the Son. Stay in that place of worship. Stay in that place of intimacy. Stay in that place of faithfulness with Him. And you will not miss your purpose. You will not miss your purpose. Faithful, remember, it can be there's lots of different words that define faithful. Loyal. Some of these words are so powerful. Man, I might speak about them, chew on them for a little bit, you know. Constant. They're powerful words. We're talking about the power of faithfulness here. Loyal, constant, true, devoted, unswerving, staunch. As I said last time, that's a lot of people think that's a negative word. Well, I'm very staunch. We'll touch on maybe some of that in a minute, but steadfast, dedicated, committed. Oh man. You know, when you're involved in church, these are words that are awesome words. Committed. See, to be able to look at someone and say, they're committed. Not they should be committed, they are committed. Some people come out of church and they think they should be committed. See, there's a lot attached to that. See, if you're involved in church, if you're involved in leadership, we ain't talking about that hierarchical nonsense, we're talking about that servant leadership. You, something, when you recognize someone is committed, wow, that is worth its weight in Bitcoin. Whatever that is. Trustworthy. Oh, there's an awesome word. Trustworthy. Dependable. Reliable. Man. These words are just, they're like money in the bank, you know what I'm saying? Psalm 12 verse 1 says, "Help, Lord, for principled and godly people are here no more. Faithfulness and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men." I'll tell you, it's almost like faithfulness in our generation. It's an old-fashioned concept. We live in a generation of the church where the walk doesn't always match the talk. Because every sin in the world is found in the church. Very often it's very difficult to discern the difference between the lifestyles of believers and unbelievers. Well, I don't know about again about religious now. Well, we'll touch on that in a minute as well. Some freedom comes to somebody tonight. The truth will set you free. As I said before, you might be miserable for a little while, but it'll set you free. Maybe a little miserable on the journey for a short season, but in fact, we definitely will touch on that. Because everybody seems to be looking to the same things for answers. Everybody looking to the same things for satisfaction. The only difference between the Christians and the non-Christians, the believers and unbelievers, is that occasionally, and sometimes it's just occasionally, the Christians actually show up in church meetings and sing the songs and do the stuff. Jesus said, "This people draw near to me with their lips." They're good at singing the songs. In fact, at one point God actually says, "I heard enough of your songs. You just stop singing at me." When he said then, have a discussion. Singing over till we deal with this. Then we can get back to singing again. Yeah. I mentioned last week, and I've been meditating on this, and it's almost like I've had a bit of a kind of personal epiphany over this past wee while. So I mentioned last week, a couple of weeks ago, I was reading in Joshua about the generation who had been born in the wilderness, the generation who had been born after they'd come out of Egypt, and they were in that wilderness time. And that generation that had been born in that time, none of the males had been circumcised. For whatever reason. We're not told, I don't believe. Why not? Maybe they just didn't think it was important. And as I said last week, you know, every time you start talking about circumcision, the men get a little bit uncomfortable. But see, we're talking now about circumcision of the heart, so ladies, you're in on this. Mm-hmm. We're talking about physical circumcision, and we're talking about circumcision of the heart. They've not been circumcised. And as I was reading that, this, the Holy Spirit really quickened this account within me. And I began to see that maybe we have a generation of the church who actually often give the appearance of being uncircumcised. Mm. See, that generation that had been born in the wilderness, God said before they can enter in to their inheritance, we want to enter in to the fullness of our inheritance. Do we not? Mm. Do we or do we not?
We do.
Do we or do we not?
Yes.
We want it all, don't we? Yes. We're not being greedy. We're being faithful. When we say, "I want it all." Well, that generation, God said, they cannot enter in to the fullness of their inheritance until they have been circumcised. You know, that cutting something off that you've held on to longer than you should can be a very painful process. A lot of these men were adults. And circumcision normally took place when a baby, a male child was only 8 days old. I'm not saying they didn't feel any pain, but at least they didn't know what was coming. They came, there was were anesthetized by surprise. To some extent. But just knowing what's about to happen can make a whole lot of difference to your pain threshold. And your resistance. Not to pain, but to what might cause pain. Stay in the spirit with us, will you? Circumcision is a sign of covenant. It marks you as a child of God. It marks you as being different from the world. Our circumcision is a circumcision of the heart, and it should take place soon after rebirth. Old ties should be cut off. Old habits, old lifestyles, old patterns of behavior, old desires should be cut off. That should be the expectation of those who have been born again, who have entered into covenant with God. Yes. See, the mark of circumcision is in a private place. It's in a secret place. But the evidence of circumcision is a changed life. The mark of circumcision is in a private place. It's in a secret place. It's in the new covenant, it's in the secret place of the heart. But the evidence of circumcision is a changed life. Circumcision is about covenant, and covenant is about faithfulness. What we're talking about tonight, the power of faithfulness. When we enter into covenant, we are saying what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Anything that you need that I have, you don't even have to ask. It's yours, and vice versa. We don't have a whole lot to bring, but our time, and our talent, and our treasure. We don't have much more on that. But when God says, if we're in covenant with Him, and He says, I would like some of your time, you know what? He doesn't even have to ask. He just says, hey, come over here and help me, will you? And if we recognize what it means to be in covenant, if we recognize what it means to be faithful to that covenant, we won't even take a moment to think about it. We'll be there faster than these scrawny little legs can carry us. Come on, eh? And the same with the giftings that He's placed within us. Same with the treasure that we've been. Come on. We've been given stewardship over. We're just stewards of everything. That's all we are. I've got a head start on being a steward and all that. Hallelujah. You're a good steward, but definitely. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. You see, we live in the generation of the quickie, the no quibble, the no blame divorce. I'm not having a go at people. I'm not talking about people who have been in abusive situations and stuff like that. You never expect anyone to continue in that mess. I'm talking about folks like, just I feel like a change. It's over. Boom. Just like that. No quibble, no blame, just sign the papers. There you go. And because of that attitude, covenant has been radically devalued. Yeah. And it's become virtually meaningless in our generation. As I said, faithfulness, it's like it's an old-fashioned concept. You know, the church can no longer expect faithful commitment from its members. In fact, many who identify as believers have no covenant relationship with a local church. That's like those in the world who say things like, oh, well, we love each other, we just can't live together. What's in the church is in the world. What's in the world? It's in the church. It's the same attitude. You might be able to dress it up in super spiritual terms, but that's what you're saying. Oh, we love each other. We just can't hang out with each other. We just can't live together. We can't do life together. See, our righteousness, nothing to do with us. Established in heaven. Nothing I can do can make me less righteous than God's already declared me.
Right.
And nothing I can do can make me more righteous. But it's the uncompromisingly righteous. When I compromise that righteousness that he's declared over me, it doesn't affect my status or my relationship with heaven, but it does affect my relationship with the world.
That's right.
It eats into my effectiveness with the world. I'll guarantee you, you've got curtain twitchers around you who know that you believe, you claim to be a Christian, and they watch what you do on a Sunday. Well, you're really getting religious now, don't you? No, just hang in there, fasten your seatbelt. They watch to see. Because they have an expectation from people who say they are Christians. And their expectation is that people who say they are Christians, they walk out of the house with a Bible under their arm and get into their motor car and they go to church on a Sunday morning. Someone said, he just quit preaching and got to Midlands. I said, I've had a personal epiphany. Let me get to that in a minute. I said, well, let me just throw this in here right now, because I'm sitting with Katrina the other night. We're just sitting on the couch. We don't get to spend a whole lot of time together at the moment because of the situation with Granny and all that and everything in this. And so we just try and take the moments that we have. And so we're sitting on the telly. We've got something on the planner on Sky, and so we just, let's watch this. And some series that's on at the moment, and I'm sitting there watching it. And because we're just having some time together, you know what I'm saying? Just sort of chilling time, you know, not too intense. Just getting to sit on the same couch, you know, maybe 3 feet apart, but on the same couch, you know. and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, the content of this program, in just about every aspect, is contrary to everything I believe in. The message that it's projecting, the language that they are using, everything in this thing is totally contrary to everything. I believe, what am I doing? What am I doing? I said, we stay off. You say, oh, that's very religious, we'll get at me. Said that before, said, oh, we can love each other, we just can't live together. See, the reality is, the message of the new covenant, it's always delivered in a corporate context. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the
churches.
What am I saying to individuals? What are you saying to the churches? Look at the messages to the churches in Revelation. The only one, if I'm right, the only person that got singled out was someone who was doing something a bit dodgy. Her name was Jezebel. She claimed to be a prophetess. And it was only after a lot of long suffering that the Lord stuck a finger on that one. But none of the ones who received a little bit, a couple of them received a little bit of commendation, one received all commendation, but he didn't place that commendation on individuals. Some churches that received a little bit of a lot of correction, a few of the people within there received some commendation, but the message was always corporately delivered to a corporate group of people. Because that's how the Holy Spirit operates. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God created in us. And the devil is working overtime to separate us, to divide us, to keep us apart. Come on, somebody. Now, the uncompromisingly righteous, they don't allow him. They say no to every attempt to divide us, to separate us, to keep us apart.
Yeah.
The only way to say no is to commit yourself to love, to faithfulness, to covenant. I don't care If you want to fall out with me, I ain't falling out with you. You can stop talking to me, but I want to tell you, I ain't stopped talking to you. You can pull your hand away every time I put my hand out, but I'm not going to stop putting my hand out. I've been in crazy situations, man. Christians, man, you wave to them, and they're like, I'm going to wave at you. I'm going to wave anyhow. I wave to every day. I'm still waving another pool. You know? I mean, you don't miss anybody. You know? If we don't identify with a local church, we're not going to hear. I want you to hear that. Please listen. We're not going to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we will be largely ignorant of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our community.
That's right.
Which is where we are. But it's important that we understand what He is doing so that we can be a part of what He is doing. So that we can flow with what He is doing. So we can input into what He is doing. Come on, somebody. I said, I've had this kind of personal epiphany. It really genuinely has provoked me to look at certain areas of my own life and activities where, as I said it last week, I said for the first 20 odd years of being a Christian, I was certainly a spirit-filled Christian. I didn't read a secular book. I certainly didn't listen to secular music. I didn't bother having a TV or anything like that, or any of that stuff. Didn't read newspapers or magazines very, very rarely. And you know what? Didn't watch movies. You know what? It wasn't because I was being religious, it was because there were surplus to requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was way too busy for any of that stuff. I didn't, you know what, I didn't suffer one little bit as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'll tell you what, I was a lot better off.
Mm-hmm.
I was a lot better off. Remember, look at the pride, his soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous, the rigidly just as the one who knows he's been justified freely by God's grace. He's been declared righteous, he's been told all your sins have been taken away. What do I want to start bringing them back on board for? I've been delivered from that stuff. Why would I want to go back to it? That stuff's supposed to be in the rear view mirror. It's not supposed to be all over my windscreen. Locking the way, locking my vision. I said, my righteousness is not in my hands, but my willingness to compromise is. But covenant faithfulness is what will guard me against compromise. Guard your heart with all vigilance, with all diligence, because out of your heart flow the issues of life, the things that are important, the things of the Spirit, the things that have eternity attached to them. And as I meditate on this, I've realized that often we allow things to remain uncut. Or we allow things, as I said, like that generation who came out of Egypt and who lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and all those that were born during that time, none of the males were circumcised. It was an uncircumcised generation. And sometimes, as I was thinking about this and applying it to our own situation and our own generation, I began to realise it, and I think I maybe mentioned this last week, but I'll just say it again. We allow things to remain uncut because we've been afraid of being accused of being religious. Do you know that how many people now consider the expectation that they should actually show up in the fellowship of believers on a Sunday? They consider that as a religious expectation.
Mm.
If you say that and they say, oh, you're just being religious.
Mm.
Well, what does the Word of God have to say about it? James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled religion before God. Said we get it, didn't I? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I remember looking at this some time ago, a few years ago. Now, and I'm going back to the original Greek for the word that's translated religion here. It's a Greek word, thrisca, and I discovered that it could actually be translated as worshipping.
Mm.
Worshipping. Pure and undefiled worshipping before God and the Father is this.
Mm-hmm.
You see, what I realise is that sometimes when someone is being accused of being religious, it's actually their worship that's being attacked.
Wow.
I tell you, there's people in this town, they would never go on a ferry on a Sunday. And half the Christians are going, they're just religious. No, what? It's part of their worship.
Yes.
Sit down and have a talk with them. It's not because they're afraid that it might sink if they're on it. No. I mean, maybe some of them I may have fired it, but I'll tell you, a lot of them, it's part of their worship.
Mm.
And you had no business messing with it.
Yeah.
If they don't want to get on a ferry on a Sunday, if they don't want to get on a plane on a Sunday, and that's part of their worship, you just leave that well alone.
Mm.
Don't you dare call them religious.
Yeah.
Mm. I've used the ferry, and I've still used the ferry, and I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to mess with someone else's worship.
Mm.
And that applies to so many things. We say, oh, they're just religious. And I've heard it myself, you're just religious. And you know what? It's my worship.
Yeah.
You're attacking.
Yeah.
It's part of my worship.
Yeah.
Pure and undefiled worshiping. I don't know about you, but I want that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Pure and undefiled worship. Pure worshiping and undefiled. Keeping oneself unspotted, untainted by the world, uncorrupted by the world, uncompromised by the world. Kiss the Son,
mm.
lest he be angry,
mm.
and you perish. And we. There's another part, the last part of that. That verse. Hallelujah. Too many things to say this. Hallelujah. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish on the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all. Say blessed.
Blessed.
It's yummy, isn't it? Blessed.
Mm.
Blessed are all those who put their trust in him, who put their trust in his faithfulness, who respond to his faithfulness with their faithfulness. The uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. No wonder Jesus said, the Father is seeking worshippers. I'll tell you, he is seeking uncompromisingly righteous worshippers in spirit and in truth. Some people refuse to do certain things or to go certain places. It's not because they're religious. It's part of their worship. When other people refuse to do certain things, go certain places or to watch certain movies. I've got a really dear friend of mine. And I tell you, if he, you go through his movie collection, you're lucky if you've got a U in there. But an old U certificate. Universal, whatever it was. Everybody can watch this. I seen him bin a few of them. I want to tell you, he's one of the freest people I know. But he's not willing to compromise his righteousness. Some people, when they refuse to watch certain movies or read certain books, I'll tell you the first secular book I read after 20 odd years. And it was, I got it as a present. It was a John Grisham book. And I discovered, then I went to the library one time, we were on holiday in Elgin, and I took out another few of his books, and one of them, actually somebody got saved in it. And I discovered he was a Christian, and he went on mission trips with his church. I'm not sure where he's at right now. But so I told this to my friend, this friend I'm talking about. I said, oh, John Grisham. I said, hey, he's a Christian, you know. So he got himself a John Grisham book out of the library. And he found a swear word in it. Probably not, it'd be classified. No, not a major one. Maybe what we might classify as a minor one. And he wrote him a letter. Didn't get a reply, but he wrote him a letter. He said, I thought, I heard you were a Christian. Wait, what are you putting these words in your books for? The uncompromisingly righteous. You could say, well, he's just being religious. No, as far as he's concerned, that's part of his worship. It's keeping his worship pure and undefiled. He doesn't want anything coming between him and his relationship with his God. He doesn't want something coming between him and cutting off the kiss. I don't know, should I say this? Well, it's coming to me, so. I remember years ago watching a thing on the telly, and there was prostitutes talking, and one this prostitute said, they were asking what kind of things, and I'm not going into the details of that, you understand, what sort of things do you do? They gave a list of all of the horrendous things that they offer to their clients. And this lady said, there's one thing, never do. What's that? Never kiss a man. You just gave us this list of all the things that you offer as services to your clients, but you never kiss a man. It's too intimate. What we offer is not about intimacy. No intimacy. Never kiss a man. I thought, my man, that spoke to me today. That spoke to me. Worship, proskuneo, stretch toward him. Kiss. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way before his wrath gets carried over the hill. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. Don't ever, we're talking about tonight, that I better move on, because I've been going that long, surely not. Don't ever be intimidated by the accusation of being religious. When you know that your actions are a part of your worship. I'll guarantee you, maybe even in this room tonight, some of you compromised on some things that you were very uncomfortable with because either you were afraid of people calling you religious or they actually did call you religious and you succumbed on the basis of that. And you compromised. Well, if, as a believer, we've allowed things like that to happen, if, as a believer, there's some things that we never did even, we allowed to remain as part of our lives that we should have cut off a long time ago, then let me just say, pardon with these things. Now, it can be a painful process. That's why when there's a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit really presents himself in strong manifestation in a situation, in a place among people, then where his presence is powerfully manifesting, that's why you get so many Christians weeping at the altars, crying out for mercy. I remember reading a book years and years and years ago called The Korean Pentecost. It was when things really started to move back in Korea. Now, you know what's happened in Korea since then. This is way back at the start, and there was missionaries in there, and they were bringing the gospel, and churches had been established, and things were trucking along quite nicely, but there was a real move of the Holy Spirit. And this guy in the book was saying that pastors and elders in the churches were coming to the missionaries and saying, we want to repent before you, need to forgive us. And they're saying, what do you mean, forgive you for what? Well, everything was fine. We've hated you for years. And he's like, you hate me? Didn't we hate me? But the Spirit of God was moving. And things like hate and bitterness and resentment, things that should have been cut off, hadn't been cut off. But now, God says it's circumcision time. This thing's moving up a gear. We're going to take this thing forward. But before that can happen, there's going to have to be a circumcision takes place. These missionaries had no idea. They thought things were just trucking along as they should be. Churches are growing, things are looking okay, people are showing up, singing the songs. All the time. Not just people who were newly saved. These were people who were in places and positions of leadership, eldership, and yet they were harboring all these things hidden down there in their hearts. But God, when he showed up, the opportunity came for them to have a circumcision. Things that should have been dealt with, that had never been dealt with, were getting dealt with. And if we're going to press into our inheritance, if we're going to receive what we've been promised, come on, is that what we want? Is that what you long for? If we're going to receive everything that we've been promised in all of its fullness, you know what? There may just have to be a time of circumcision. We may just have to have a temporary, painful process. Hallelujah. It's almost come to the end of this, and I haven't got to start, you know what I'm saying? Because last week we started looking at four characteristics of faithful people. We got through the first two, and I was going to look at the second two tonight, and time is just about gone, and we're going to have to leave it there. Hallelujah. Let me just remind you of the first two that we looked at. Faithful people live by faith. Faithful, number two was faithful people stay in course. And I'll just throw this out as a taster for when we come back to this, maybe in a couple of weeks or whatever. Faithful people stand the test of time. Faithful people stand the test of time. I'll just give you a scripture and then we'll just pray. Hallelujah. And I want you to take this home with you. I want to, this is a, you know, this is coming in a corporate context, and we can invite the Holy Spirit to come here right now, but sometimes we need to take, I think, sometimes we need to take away and just chew on a little while. That's what I did after we left here last Sunday. I was just driving home alone and just continuing to meditate on these things, and I thought, Lord, and overnight that night I said, Lord, some things I want to deal with. And over that past week, I said, Lord, I'm just going to cut off some things. They're unnecessary, they're frivolous, and I believe they're actually having a negative impact and effect, and some of them things have come in slowly. I want to be that rigidly just and uncompromisingly righteous. I don't want my effectiveness and my witness to be hampered or damaged by things that I allow that give the wrong message to people who are still lost. I want them to know that there's a difference between them and me. And you're the difference. He is the difference. That this is a matter of worship. It's not about being religious. It's about worship. In Proverbs 25:19 it says this: confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. You ever try chewing with a broken tooth or walking on a foot that's... trouble that very often exposes whether we are dependable and trustworthy or not. It's sometimes when trouble comes that our faithfulness is tested. Faithful people stand the test of time. We'll come back to this. Again, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for what you've been bringing to us already this evening, Lord, in different ways through the songs that we were singing, Lord, through the prophetic word that came through this next stage of that prophetic word that's just been unpacked here with us this evening, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray by the Holy Spirit you would just bring the truth of some of these things, Father God. Just let the searchlight of your Spirit, Lord, just come into our lives right now. Search us like David Christ. Search me and know me. See if there's any wicked, corrupt, perverted, twisted way in me. I don't want anything to compromise my worship. I want to be a worshipper in spirit and truth, because Father, I believe that that's what you're looking for. The eyes of God scan the whole earth. What's he looking for? He's looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely his, those whose hearts are faithful to him. You want to see God move? Do you want to see him move in ways way beyond what you've ever seen before? And some of us have seen him move. Some of us have experienced his faithfulness in supernatural, radical, miraculous ways. But he's got more. He's always got more. He's always got more. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you to worship, because there's no other way to come. Oh, hallelujah. We invite you to cut off, to renew that circumcision of our hearts and cut off anything that is unpleasing to you, that gets in the way, that is messing up our testimony and our effectiveness as witnesses, as lights in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord.